Hey, Zero Block 30 listeners, you can find us every Tuesday and Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Prime members can also listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Summer is all about the freedom to have fun. Forget a vacation and take a tequila-cation with new Truly Tequila Soda. This refreshing blend of real fruit juice from concentrate, sparkling water, and premium tequila blanco is the drink of the summer. Try all four refreshing flavors, all with 5% ABV and just 100 calories. Truly Tequila Soda. Keep it light. Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, Boston, Massachusetts. Please drink responsibly.
Welcome back to a very special Valentine's edition here on Zero Block 30. I'm excited about that because star clusters are red. Some moonbeams are blue. We've got some great rounds today that are just for you. Round number one, a Texas County Sheriff's candidate loved talking about his time in the SEALs, Green Beret, and Airborne Rangers, but it turns out he was never with any of them. And it's even more of a heartbreaker when it turns out his opponent did the same damn thing. Round number two, it's Valentine's Day, which is great news because that means chocolate will be half off at the PX tomorrow. And even better news since listeners showered each other with love notes, and we're going to read those sweet, sweet suckers today. Round number three, wouldn't be Valentine's Day without a little heartbreak too. And it looks like the Philippines might be breaking up with the USA and ending a major security pact that allows us to train in their country. Round number four, people on deployments don't cease being horny. Some of our listeners have never been on a field op, deployment, or a movement while in a romantic relationship. We'll take some advice from the Salt Dogs of World War II and then put our spin on it while sexting while deployed here in the year 2020. And finally, round number five, an Air Force pilot sent a ring to outer fucking space in a marriage proposal that will put you all to shame. And we're going to do all that today. And we are going to get into it right now because in Texas, my beloved Texas, there's a story that's going around. We've long said that stolen valor to us, as long as you're not doing something that's like super deceitful to the public or gaining something out of it, we're not really concerned, right?
Yeah, it doesn't ruffle our feathers as much.
And really what we mean by that is like the dudes that are outside, or ladies, the dudes that are outside 7-Eleven trying to get a free donut, I don't care.
No. If you wanna have at it, Hoss.
If you want to do that, if you're like a homeless fella and you're standing out there, be like, I'm a war veteran, I'm homeless right now, I need 30 cents. Look, you got bigger issues than me worried about what's going on that sign. I'm totally fine with that. I think yelling at those people does no one any good, really.
No, right? What do you think about people who try to claim stolen valor and go up to the homeless people who put veteran on their sign to let everyone know, hey, they may or not, may not have been a veteran, but what do you think about the people who then confront them and ask them questions to verify it?
I think that shit's ridiculous. I don't understand doing it. Like, what do you gain about that? Like, you look like a hardo whenever you're doing it. The person's already homeless, or they look like they're homeless, or like the place that you have to be to have that level of your dignity taken away where you're standing on the street corner with a sign has got to be so low that getting screamed at in public and putting it on YouTube, it doesn't change the mental scape that that person is in, and it doesn't make you look good either.
No, it only makes you look like a really terrible person that you felt the need to take time out of your day to beat this other person while they're already clearly down. So I agree with
and
you.
And that being said, I would have done it when I was in. we've had stories a couple of weeks ago. There was a dude in the airport that we posted on ZBT. The guy was dressed, I believe, in a Navy uniform. I think he was dressed as a Navy chief. Clearly wasn't a Navy chief because he was like 22 years old. Impossible to become an E7 at that young of an age. The dude looked younger than Vibbs, which is almost impossible. So then you have some people that are ate up in the airport that are like, hey, you need to go to the bathroom and change right now. I guarantee you, old Staff Sergeant Cothran, if I saw that shit, that would have been me in a heartbeat, and I'm embarrassed for my old self now.
To look back and think, geez, I would have really hated myself. I would have. That's like, Happy Gilmore, and he said, if I dress like that, I'd kick my own ass. Like, if I saw myself like that, I'd kick my own ass.
Because best case scenario, what do you get? You get group two boarding? I mean, that's the best case scenario.
Yeah, no, there really isn't too much of a benefit. Maybe you'll get bumped up to first class if you're really.
But that doesn't happen anymore. I mean, no, I think that happens on long-term flights. Like, if you come back and you're wearing, like, straight up camis that are clearly dusty as shit, and you have two big bags that you've been gone for a long time, maybe you get bumped up to first class. But it's no longer 2003 and 4 when that shit happens all the time. People don't care. Like, they want the seat that they paid for.
No, yeah. As a society, we've kind of become desensitized to everything. And I don't know, maybe it's just because I'm not flying in and out of airports that are near military bases as much as I was a decade ago. I just don't see people traveling in uniforms that much anymore either.
Thank God. Thank God. I hated that shit. And I think that that's the difference, like, Marines and the rest of the branches of the service, that they will. Like, still now, San Antonio is the airport that I travel out of all the time. I'll be there tomorrow when we go to the Air Force Academy. Every time I go there, I see airmen that are dressed in their camouflage uniform. Mm-hmm. To me, that's a battle dress uniform. You used to call it BDUs. Like, it's a battle dress uniform. This is for training. It's not for being out in public in. Even whenever I was in, you weren't allowed to go to Sonic. You weren't allowed to go to McDonald's inside Starbucks out in town. You weren't allowed to do any of that shit in camis. And
get
then
out.
To be like a Marine and seeing people flying all over the place or going to the movies or going to the mall in camis. Like, what are we doing here?
All those other social type activities, I understand that. But what about, like, going off base for lunch in uniform for the day? Or just not do it?
You cannot do it. You have to change into civilian clothes.
Wow. That's
so whenever
a huge
I worked
difference.
Here at Lackland, I worked in a joint service. Like, it was all of us, like all four of the branches that were there every single day, and all my other instructors were in different branches of service. They would want to go out to eat at like Taco Cabana or Bill Miller's or something like that. I wouldn't be able to go, or I'd have to change into civilian attire.
My goodness, that is a very vast difference, because I didn't know that that was a thing. Because, you know, when I was at Fort Hood, you would just leave base to go to lunch and you could go wherever you pleased.
And to show you how ate up I was, I used to patrol those places to make sure my students weren't going out to Bill Miller's or anything like that. I'd be like, you nasty little bitch, come here.
Staff Sergeant Chaps was, or excuse me, Staff Sergeant Cothran was quite the individual, it seems like.
Yeah, I was talking to Ross Tucker. I went on his podcast, a football podcast, the other day, and was explaining it's basically my life has been three people. Like, I was seminarian Matthew, then I became Staff Sergeant Cothran, and now I'm Chaps. Like, legitimately three different lives.
It's crazy when you think about that, how diverse, too. You know, everyone morphs as they get older and matures and maybe changes in different ways. You've been three distinct different individuals.
Three people. Yeah.
You've been like
very separate people.
You've basically been Leo DiCaprio in Catch Me If You Can, just changing your lifestyle.
And I promise you, like, if Matthew, Seminary and Matthew met Staff Sergeant Chaps, there would be no recognition of who the other people were. Like, they would hate each other.
All three would hate each other.
Now, Chaps would hate Matthew. Chaps would also probably hate Staff Sergeant Cothran.
Well,
it's just very strange.
We all change, so nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that at all. But let's actually get into what we were fucking talking about here, because in Texas, there's a guy that's running for Callahan County Sheriff's Department here in Texas candidate has admitted to misleading the public about his military service. And an investigation was launched on his opponent for making a similar fraudulent claim. Rick Jowers, who currently serves as the chief deputy for the Callahan County, released a statement on social media Monday that reads in part, he says, "I deeply and wholeheartedly apologize for misleading you about my military service. I do have discrepancies on my DD-214 from 30 years ago, and I'm currently working to correct those." Jowers goes on to explain, even though he claimed otherwise on multiple public forums, that he is not a Navy SEAL, Green Beret, or an Airborne Ranger. Now, to me, this isn't something that's a discrepancy. A discrepancy would be how long were you in, like, this theater? How long did you serve? And you say, oh, I served for 8 years, 2 months, and it was really 8 years, 4 months. I can see how that gets
that's
fucked
a discrepancy.
Up in your brain.
Right,
a
yes.
A discrepancy might be I got three letters of appreciation whenever I only got two. You don't have a minor discrepancy. Oh, actually, I didn't graduate from Bud's Green Beret School or Airborne Ranger School.
Yeah.
Didn't do any of those things.
Because I got to imagine.
That's not a discrepancy. It's a lie.
I would have to imagine one would remember serving in two different branches of our armed services, being the Navy and the Army. So to say that you were in both, that you know, even as you get into very old age and maybe get senile, I don't think that's something that one would forget.
Yeah, I've actually been called out, speaking of stolen valor shit. There was a guy that I went that I was in 1st Recon Battalion with whenever I was deployed in Fallujah. And he told me that he was a Ranger too. And I was like, what do you mean? Like, he was a reconnaissance man and he had gone to Ranger school.
Okay.
At the time, I had never heard that that was an even option. I was like, you fucking liar. Like, nobody does that.
Mm-hmm.
And then a lot of the other recon dudes were like, no, like half of us has been to Ranger school too. I was like, oh, goddamn, I am a fucking poke. I'm a big time poke.
Right. I mean, like, there's some instances like that that are a little more common than others. And I mean, this is also not to say that this sort of thing doesn't happen. You know, we look at someone like we read about in that one book where the gentleman did serve in multiple branches of service. So it does happen. It's not impossible, but it's, as we said, not something you just forget about. And maybe there's a little discrepancy with your S1 shop where they messed up a little bit of paperwork. Not the case.
Yeah,
here.
That's common. Like, we see those kind of mistakes all the time. Like, what date did you go to school? I've even seen people that had schools drop out. Like, my buddy Doc, he didn't have dog handler school. I knew that he was a dog handler. He had been dog handling for 6 years. But whenever he got some of his schoolwork paperwork back, we had to come down to Lackland to find, like, his certificate and shit that he actually went. Like, mm-hmm. That kind of stuff does happen. You do have discrepancies. You don't have discrepancies that you didn't go to the fucking Navy SEAL, Green Beret, or Airborne Ranger school.
Yeah.
That's not what happened. But the craziest part is that his opponent also lied on his stuff. And the opponent is accused of fraudulently claiming that he received a Silver Star and a Purple Heart. Now, Cons, I want to pose you the question here. Do you think it's worse to lie about, one, your capabilities that you have if you're going for sheriff? Would you prefer the candidate who lied about his capabilities, saying that he has the capabilities of a Navy SEAL, Green Beret, or an airborne paratrooper, or that he is a Silver Star recipient and a Purple Heart recipient? Which one would you prefer?
My gut tells me the latter, the Silver Star and Purple Heart, just because what has to occur for those two awards to be given to someone. So I think that sticks in my craw a little bit more, to steal a phrase from Texas. Because also, if you're you're talking about a Silver Star, that is talking about your capabilities to an extent, because it says you acted in a certain way.
Oh, you don't get
a
Silver Star for just goofing.
Yeah. You can get a Purple Heart from just forgetting to duck under a window. That's not
right.
That hard.
Yeah.
Silver Star, you got to be doing
real
something.
Boot and get one of those.
Yeah, exactly. So, but what's funny is, you know, you always talk growing up, like, don't judge a book by its cover, get to know someone. I'm looking at these two gentlemen, and it occurs to me that they look like the two type of people that they think the whole internet is just a whole fandangle thingy and they don't really understand it. So they're like, oh, we'll just say these things and no one will ever find out. And it'll look great that I'm going up against this guy. And I said, I'm better than him and I had a better military career. Well, yeah, there's a little thing called Google, sir. So we're going to have to check that DD-214 a little clearer.
Well, one of these guys looks like they took him out of a 1750s picture in Arizona where yeah. He's wearing a cowboy hat and the biggest handlebar mustache that you could possibly imagine. And he also has mirrored sunglasses on. This dude definitely looks like a Texas type of sheriff. But mm-hmm. In this town, for me, I think I would be more upset with the person who lied about their capabilities, because in Callahan, Texas, the population is only 14,000.
That's
so
tiny.
So that would mean to me that you only have a police department of maybe 5 or 6 cops, maybe. So if you can have one of your top cops that's 5 or 6 of those police officers total, if you could have one of those gentlemen have SEAL, Green Beret, and paratrooper training, you feel a lot more comfortable than what you do with a guy who just happened to be in a really serious firefight and performed extraordinarily.
That's true. You got a SEAL, Green Beret, Airborne Ranger patrolling the streets. You're probably not even locking your doors at night. You're like, oh, I'm
no,
good.
I wouldn't. I wouldn't at all. Be like, come on in, fellas. The water's warm.
I just, the other thing I don't understand about this, when people make such egregious lies, how is there nobody in their camp that says, whoa there, Rick, maybe dial it back a little. Like, maybe you want to say you're a Navy SEAL?
Well, because you really don't know. Like, you really don't know. Like, we've known each other for 3.5 years. We've been doing this podcast for 3.5 years. If one day you came in and you said, you know what, chaps, I got to tell you a story that I've never told. I trust you. You're an honest fella. I don't mm-hmm. know you to be a liar. I'm going to initially believe you. Now, if you tell me that, like, I kept for you for 3 years that I was a Green Beret and a Navy SEAL and an airborne paratrooper, I might say, you know what, that doesn't sound exactly right, Cons.
Like, hold on. Right. Give me a few minutes. I want to, like,
you
look
know,
this up.
I've done however countless many interviews that I've done in different places. Do you know who actually checked my credentials once? Like, for awards and shit?
Erica?
No. Never anybody at Barstool has never checked anything, ever asked her anything.
Maybe one of the members of Congress that we've interviewed?
Nope. Fox Sports. Fox Sports did an interview on me before I even started working at Barstool. And one of the things that they were going to talk about is that I was a Purple Heart recipient. Hmm. And they, before they would run it in the article, and I told them I didn't really care, but it was the first time I'd ever been questioned about it. They said, we want to make sure, because we don't, they looked up Chaps McNeely, which I
always go
by. Oh,
yeah. All right. So that makes sense.
They looked up Chaps McNeely on the Purple Heart database and didn't come up. So then they asked me, what's the deal here? We don't see it. Can you imagine if I didn't have that documentation that, no, my name is actually Matthew Cothran. Here's the Purple Heart citation. Here's my DD-214 and like turned in all that stuff. They probably could have come in for me just being an internet troll and fucked everything up if I was a liar about it.
That would be a bad look. Well, kudos to yeah. Fox Sports for being that diligent. I know, appreciate right? that. Because, yeah. again, military service, I think people just are apt to just believe whatever is told of them. And oftentimes, civilians, if you hear a lot of things, there's no radar that goes off. They're like, oh, that sounds a little fishy. Now this, you know, when you're talking about multiple branches of service, that should go off and raise a red flag for most people. But if I said to Bren, like, oh, yeah, actually, I earned a Silver Star, Bronze Star, 2 Purple Hearts, Bren would be like, oh, wow, that's pretty great. Like, maybe not now because he's a little more
seasoned.
Well,
I don't even think, like, a civilian that doesn't have an intense knowledge of the military or doesn't even watch a lot of movies would even recognize that SEALs and Green Berets and all that stuff is in different branches of service. You might not
You're
even
right.
recognize True. That. No. I mean, it's that to us, it'd be like going in and talk to a brain surgeon. We could go in and talk to Dr. Carson, like in the Trump administration, be like, how did you perform that brain surgery? He could tell us that he got like a teaspoon out of his kitchen, and we'd be like, yeah, that makes yeah. sense.
That checks out.
I'm not a brain surgeon. Describing parts of the brain using nonsense words, and you wouldn't know the why.
yeah.
Wouldn't know any different. Yeah, so yeah. I understand how people think that they can get away with these things. I just don't understand how there's not at least one other person around in their camp. But again, county sheriff, I can't imagine they have too big of a team that are pumping them up for that political race.
Nope. All right, let's move on to round number 2. Now it's the Super Valentine's portion of the show. I am so excited because the next 3 rounds or next 4 rounds are all about love. And if you pay attention to anything that I write on the site or the Chaps and Kate show that we do on Sirius, we talk a little romance from time to time. So I feel like even though the military is our real wheelhouse, combining these two is like a delicious little auditory sandwich that you're about to get. Kate, you took to our Instagram account and our Twitter accounts to get people to talk a little Valentine's Day. What did you discover?
Yeah, so I'm all about Valentine's Day. I don't know if you noticed the sheet today, but I put hearts all over the top of it. I really decked it out. My dad, every Valentine's Day, sends me something. When I was in middle school, it
That's
was
very nice.
Flowers from a mystery admirer. And so I thought boys at school actually liked me when they didn't. It was very traumatizing. But yeah, so I was just raised to love Valentine's Day. I think it's just like a sweet, a lot of people are like, oh, woe is me on Valentine's Day.
I don't think about that so much as I just think like, I like to do things just all the time. I don't want to just go out to dinner and get flowers just on a random day. Like, I do those things normally.
I don't know. It's just a nice day to give your friends little treats, you know?
Yeah, sure. I think that's becoming what Constance said is becoming much more a pervasive thought. And I have even been in that camp for the last couple of years. Like, my wife and I have a great relationship. I love her to death. She is my legitimate soulmate. But even us, we don't, like, do a lot of Valentine's Day stuff. I'm thinking about going back to
going the complete opposite direction.
I'm sick and tired of the war on Valentine's.
Yeah,
you know,
like,
I think we need to turn it around.
People are like, oh, it's not important. Make it a big thing. Now, I do understand saying I'm not making a reservation on Valentine's Day because it is crazy at a restaurant. Normally, you're going to have to wait a long time. It's going to be extra expensive, extra tough to get a spot. If you want to go out, like, the night after or the night before, something like that, like Con's doing.
Just take it back. Just do something fancy. Figure something
just
out.
Just in case if you have to travel on Valentine's Day and your significant other is extremely PO'd about that, yeah, you should definitely take them out the night before.
Now, that's the benefit of being married for a decade. My wife did not care at all.
There you go. And candy's going to be half off by the time you're done listening to this on Saturday. So it's just a treat all around. It's just fun, a little color in February, a little love. So my personal favorite military love story is John and Lena Bassalone. And when I lived in Oceanside, I lived right near the church that they got married in. Mm-hmm. And I'm not religious, but I would go there sometimes just because I thought it was really cool. Anyways, so I just really always loved that love story. But there's a lot of other love stories in the military. And we asked you guys to write your battle buddy, military spouse, favorite veteran, whoever, a love note, and we would read them on the show. So, Chaps, I wrote one for you.
And I appreciated it. As soon as I saw it, my heart smiled.
Yeah. Chaps, you're a great battle buddy and a real nice pal. I'm sorry you get some bad poops after Chow. You created this show that got my life back on track. I'm sorry that when we meet people, I point at you and say, guess what? He was shot in Iraq.
And when I read that, my heart went dark because you didn't write one for me.
In my heart, I have one. I like this one. @_BryceJohnson. To Kim, you are my favorite dependa. Never once did you try to wear my rank insignia. You were the one for me on every single move and comforted me when DTS put me in a bad mood. With a DD-214 in hand, we have moved to the promised land. I love you lots, and that flight suit makes you look fire. He had a little fire emoji, so he's got the hots for Kim.
I think that's going to be hot, so it'll rhyme, Kate. We're
messing up the rhyme. Lots makes you look hot. God damn it. I was like, fire. Kim looks fire. She does. This is from CF Steve Bart to his buddy at Tatted and Reckless. Roses are red, violets are blue. When you fell in the ship pond, you smelled just like poo. We'll never forget or dare ever fake it that we cut your pants off and roll you back to the fob naked. Man, that was stinky. Do you even remember? You whined like a baby till we ripped out in December. The PL was asking, did Frankie fall in? Why, yes, sir, he did, from neck bone to shin. This guy.
That's pretty good.
CFC.
That was like Dr. Seuss-esque.
Dr. Seuss. This guy's a real life doctor. Poop.
And before we move on from that one, the guy's buddy has the most military at name on Instagram ever. Tatted and Reckless. My God.
Tatted and Reckless. Yeah. Yeah.
Big
very,
time.
Very, very much so. And most of these love notes seem to involve poop for some reason or another. Maddie Monahan to her buddy at Jess Marino said, the pink eye I gave you is red. Okay. Our poop is green. Sure. We're late for Firewatch. Okay, now scream.
Hey,
so
I, like
I love
it.
That
you
one.
Know,
yeah.
And Jess replied, she said, I'm crying. It was so sweet. She loved it. At Pop Smoke Official, again, Daniel Sharp, we had him on the show a couple weeks ago, to his buddy at Apollo 3031. Thanks for being such a good bro that all the women we have dated over the years assume we were or are currently still lovers. And this speaks to, there's a lot of heavy bromance.
Oh, bromance
in the military
is so prevalent
I think
in the military.
It's the strongest. Regular bros have their bromances. There's no stronger bromance than a military bromance.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because you live together, you work together, you go out and down together. You are constantly, you're never apart.
In a place where, like, homophobic language is very common, like, way too common, it shouldn't be as common, people are way willing to give each other hugs, to kiss each other on the cheek.
Oil
like,
checks.
Constantly.
Oh, fingers
like, checking each other's oil.
For
like,
sure.
Doing credit card. Probably shouldn't do that anymore. That's, probably,
that's problematic.
Now.
Right. I talk about all the time how, you know, I would notice my battle buddy Rob, if he was having a bad day, would just walk up behind him, not say anything, just start rubbing his shoulders.
Yeah, just
attention.
A little goose,
oh,
too.
Yeah. Yeah. Just a little goosing, goofing, yeah. Just all that kind of stuff. And speaking of bromance, at Fat James Dean to his buddy at C Circle 22, he just said, I love you. So I clicked on at C Circle 22 to see who this guy was. And it's a guy in a Budweiser headband ripping a cigarette. He's lighting the cigarette with an
He's
American
got an arm sleeve.
Arm sleeve, American flag shirt on. So, you know, Fat James Dean.
And
loves
the
you.
I love you thing is wonderful as well. Like almost all of my buddies that I served with that I still talk to, shout out Andrew Reed, shout out Sean Dockrell, whenever I text with them, almost every time when we know the conversation's winding down, they always tell me they love me, and I always tell them I love them back.
Oh, yeah.
Always.
You got to drop the hard L's. Everybody's
yeah,
dropping
and it's not. It's not even the love you, like where you feel like it's a little bit more manly, a little more tough to leave off the I. We even go straight up, I love you.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Dropping hard I's in there as well as L's.
Yeah.
At Peter Lucier said, I'm probably butchering his last name there, there are many, this is a sweet one.
Mm-hmm.
This one, very sweet.
There are many battle buddies, but you alone are mine. My battle buddy is my life, and when I'm with him, life is fine. Before God, I swear this creed, this I will defend. I'll stand with you on Firewatch till our enlistment ends.
Just a beautiful poem.
But then it's him and his buddy, his battle buddy, in uniform, in their camis. They're clearly out in the field, and they're looking off into a sunset, and their arms are intertwined.
A beautiful horizon.
And their fingers are intertwined. They're just holding hands into the sunset.
It's just beautiful all around.
It really is. Yeah. It's really sweet. We've got to read our social media guy, Kyle's, at Son of a Gun, to his buddy, at Gent546. When I think of you, my heart sings, because when you fart, my eyes stings. You cleared out gyms with your smell. You made the Africans feel unwell. I'm sorry you drove over that IED. It sucks that it made you hit your knee, but we all know it was all your fault. You suck at driving, you fucking boot. Wow, what a sweet guy.
That's so nice.
I know. There was a lot of good ones. The last one I'll read is a genuine one. Iron Rooster 315. He's a military dad who follows the show. His son. Yeah. So he said, to my son, about to be pinned in your rite of passage ceremony, see you next week for family day and graduation. Proud of you. So just a lot of really nice. Sweet ones. At Watson Kobe 23, thanks for mama birding me my food like a true senior Lance should. So Nick Valditero out there baby birding.
Whoa, don't say it. Those guys got in trouble. They had to take down the picture of him being baby birded because their company. Oh, so they do listen to the show. I want to give them some advice because we talked about it a little bit in the group chat. So let me kind of set the scene what happened here, because a lot of times the younger enlisted folks will send us videos that to me is a perfect example of what junior enlisted life is like, mm-hmm. especially in the Army and the Marine Corps, where they're constantly going out, they're doing silly, stupid shit that they've done forever. We've had Max Uriarte on the show from Terminal Lance, and he talks about this as well. Well, they'll be doing things that are so unbelievably common that we look back after our time in service and think, those were the good moments that we had in the military right there. Yeah. One perfect example was a senior Marine, I think he was a corporal, or a senior Lance, that's what he just said there. A senior Lance corporal baby birded some sunflower seeds into a junior Marine's mouth. So he just chewed it up and spit it into his mouth. And now this guy is getting threatened because it went out on social media
that's
with NJP.
So dumb. Whoever the command is that's upset about this, you fucking suck. No offense.
Losers.
But like,
losers.
This is what we do. This is what junior enlisted does, man. And it's fun. You're killing time. You're goofing around. It's part of like the joy de vivre, whatever the French say. It's like,
je de vivre?
Yeah, that's what it is. Joy de vivre, je de vivre, whatever.
The je m'appelle Claude. So whatever.
It's a little je ne sais quoi. And I feel like his command's being less than competent.
I want to give him some advice because I don't know if many staff NCOs will do this for him at his current unit. Deny that NJP. If you deny that NJP, they can't give you an NJP. They have to take it to court-martial. Deny a company or a battalion-level NJP. They have to take it to court-martial. When that charge sheet goes to base legal and it says that we want to charge him because he baby-birded another Marine willingly, wasn't right. forced or anything like that, base legal will laugh your command out of the office.
Right.
Don't take that. Don't take something that could possibly ruin your career because your command wants to be idiots.
It's so stupid.
Now,
yeah,
I will say,
bad for that kid.
While that is all true, that is much easier said than done, especially if you're a young enlisted
oh, sure.
individual.
And I blame the commands for doing that. That's bullshit to do that to people.
Yeah.
Like making
yeah.
folks take an NJP, which can legitimately fuck up your career. Like mm-hmm. you're talking about somebody who might be, I don't know this kid at all. I don't know this Marine at all. But you might have somebody who could be a really good Marine and you're going to jeopardize how fast you can get promoted based on baby birding in the field.
Baby birder could become Sergeant Major of the Marine Corps.
Yeah.
You know? Baby birder
or
could be somebody.
What if he becomes an officer and he's
right.
baby bird Brigadier General.
Right. Exactly. He could become
we
Big
don't
Bird.
Know.
There's just
you
a lot
know.
Of other ways to inflict punishment after if you really are that perturbed by that action.
Yeah,
NJP's
make him
go
around battalion and police call any time that he goes and sees that he has to peck up the bird seed like a little bird every time he sees sunflower seeds on the thing for 6 months
or
on the ground.
Make the old crusty gunny who still dips baby bird him. You know, something like that.
Yeah,
anyways, let's end it on a love note. Matthew.3607 said, I like you. I like you a lot. Sorry for firing before I was cleared hot. Sounds like someone needs some Roman wipes. Maybe. I don't know. And then the final one at Roselandale said, roses are red. Violets are blue. On the USS Germantown, I got knocked down a rank or two. Our CMC got kicked out and CO was relieved to our surprise. About half the Marines got chlamydia in PI. So speaking of, I feel like there's no better way to end it Chaps, I know you've given this a few times now, but I think it's important for Valentine's Day.
It is. There's no other time that people like to get their dicks wet or whatever they do for Valentine's
Day.
Or
a vagina is pounded. Serves as a,
what's that?
Or a vagina is pounded.
Yeah, you can do whatever you want to. If it's your genitalia, you're free to do whatever you want to with it, as long as the other person is consenting. So here's your safety brief going into Valentine's Day weekend. Safe sex is great sex. You better wear a latex because you don't want that latex that I think I'm latex. So wrap it up.
All right, for starters, quick question. Have you ever had a really bad breakup?
Like, do you mean really messy breakup?
Just like one that you look back on and you're like, oh, God. Like, yikes.
I mean, both of us do because we're divorced.
True. So yeah. This is true.
It definitely qualifies that one.
I have one.
But I'll go back a little bit earlier because I talked a little bit about being seminarian earlier. And whenever I was in, when I was in Bible school, I dated the same girl, same woman, for almost 3 years we were dating, and we were very conservative in nature. I was a virgin until I was like 22 years old, and whenever I went to her house in Tallahassee, whenever I went to just go like hang out with her for a couple days in Tallahassee while I was going to school, she came out of the bathroom after taking a shower and was completely undressed. I had never seen her nude or anything like that. I think I was 20 years old, 19 years old, 20 years old. I immediately broke up with her and drove back home. It was like a 2.5 hour trip home. I saw her boobs and I was like, how could you do this? I can't believe you've done this. Why would you cause
me to stumble?
The
Lord is watching.
I immediately got into my S10 truck and drove back to where I was going to school. And we never got back together after that. It was a 3-year relationship that was done.
There you go. I don't have anyone as good as... Yeah, when I walked out, his dick was out. And so I said, you know what? I'm gone. No, in high school, I tried to break up with my longtime high school boyfriend. And I was like, let's go for a walk around your neighborhood. And I was going to like gently tell him as we went on this nice walk. And everybody had just cut their lawns. It was like late spring. And I had some sort of allergic reaction. So as I was trying to break up with him, my whole body broke out in hives. And I had snot running down my face. And I had this... I've never had anything like it before. I couldn't stop sneezing. It was like,
good because it probably shows him that you had really thought about it, that you're caring about it. It was affecting your health. It wasn't something that you were taking lightly.
Yeah, it was just a mess. We were covered in pollen by the end. But yeah, so that was the only, and then, you know, the old divorce-a-rooney, but that was a goofy time, right? That was a goofy thing.
Yeah,
those
are just goofs. Like the divorce, like we had some serious ones before. The divorce, classic Kate. Case of Chaps and Kate goofing.
We were just all goofing. Marriage goofing. But what can you do? Bren, any good ones for you?
Yeah, I mean, my only other girlfriend ended up being a pretty toxic relationship that was like on and off again. Not even like on and off again,
classic,
but like
PFC.
But like there were, you know, it didn't end abruptly, I would say.
Yeah, relationships in the military are just, I mean, yeah.
A shit show.
A total shit show. But we're not alone. We're not alone because there's another big breakup happening right now, chaps.
Oh.
Yeah. This week, the Philippines notified the United States that it would end a major security pact allowing us to train in their country, a pivotal move under President Rodrigo Duterte, who continues to warm to China while distancing itself from the U.S. China's being a total Jody on us right now and swooping in. Foreign Secretary Teodoro Loxin announced on Twitter that he notified the U.S. Embassy in Manila that the Philippines is pulling out. Nobody pulls out on Valentine's. Pulling out of the 1998 Visiting Forces Agreement. The accord allows American forces, along with U.S. military ships and aircraft, to rotate through Philippine military bases for roughly 300 joint exercises annually with Filipino troops. So we do a shit ton.
And this relationship is hugely important, not just to the U.S. interest, but to the Navy as a whole. Like the amount of people who are Filipino in the Navy is wild. Like there's a lot of Filipinos in the Navy because they can have an agreement where if you're a Filipino, you can join the United States Navy. Like you could join our military and things like that. There's a lot of different agreements. Yeah. Like if you look at
no idea.
Yeah. If you look at the U.S. Navy's percentage of Filipino service members, it is so high. So high.
Whoa, I didn't know that. But unfortunately, the agreement will be terminated within 180 days unless both sides can negotiate a way to keep it. The embassy acknowledged Manila's notice and said Washington will carefully consider how to best move forward. Despite a 69-year alliance between the two nations,
nice.
President Duterte has repeatedly lashed out against Washington, specifically the U.S., after the U.S. visa of Senator Ronald De La Rosa was canceled over alleged human rights violations committed as a national police chief in that country, in the Philippines. After Duterte took office in 2016, De La Rosa enforced the president's deadly anti-drug crackdown, carrying out a bloody campaign that killed thousands of mostly poor Filipinos. Meanwhile, China has been courting the Philippines, as well as other nations in the region like Cambodia, as part of its effort to seize control of the South China Sea. So a lot of kind of big deal shit in the long run is happening right now. And in a speech on Monday, Duterte said Trump moved to save the agreement, but he rejected the idea. He accused the U.S. of meddling in Philippine affairs, saying, America is very rude. They are so rude.
And that's tame for this guy. If you want speeches of crazy shit from a president, look no farther than the Philippines. Like, what's going on with that fella? He is a wild card. I've written blogs about him. Some of the things that he says are absolutely insane. Like, and even I'm saying that in a current America, like what he says is wild. This guy is an absolute wild card.
Yeah, it's crazy. And I just Googled it because I had to go. I never knew this, chaps. Filipinos were the only foreign nationals allowed to enlist in the U.S. Armed Forces without first immigrating to the country. And the Navy was the only military branch they could join. After weeding out those viewed as unqualified to enlist, the Navy tested about a quarter of applicants and picked the top 400. So they stopped doing this in the 90s, I guess. But this really was a thing that they were doing for a long, long time. I had no idea.
No, I mean, if you go to different bases, because I only knew it probably because my dad was in the Navy and we would go to different places. The amount of Filipinos that were there was just a lot. And one, because that was a big port that they would have. A lot of people in the Navy, especially in the late 80s, early 90s, were stationed in the Philippines at some point. And many of the service members, whenever they went, they would come back with a wife. So a lot of the cultural influence that happened was because America became a melting pot. The Navy really became a melting pot with a lot of different cultures intertwined with Filipino culture. So you would constantly have like Filipino foods and Filipino holidays and things like that that were celebrated.
Well, so yeah, a pretty big relationship could be coming to an end here in 180 days to make it work. Couples counseling, maybe?
Yeah.
Steak and a blowjob? Somebody's got to figure it out.
Get Dr. Phil on the case.
Get Dr. Phil. Send him over there on a little ship. They'll figure it out.
But Dr. Phil loves it. He would fit in. Honestly, if you took Dr. Phil, put him in a khaki Navy chief uniform with his current mustache and haircut, nobody would be the wiser. He would be the perfect person to be it. Senior Chief Dr. Phil.
Honest to God, I can see it so perfectly. It's meant to be.
Like, you telling me that Senior Chief Dr. Phil isn't the guy that's in charge of, like, the SIQ branch at your local fucking BAH? Like, he is.
He is. He's that guy for sure. So hopefully they figure it out. I don't know. But could be a breakup in the works. Not good on Valentine's Day.
All right, let's move on to round four. Round number four. Fucking in the military is nothing new. We've been doing it forever. People in World War II were writing letters about it. People now are getting online and they're sending text messages back and forth, trying to figure out ways to do it while on deployment. It's been around forever. Kate and I used to have to do it while we were in.
Because it's no matter what war you're in, even from the beginning of time, when you're separated from your partner for a long time, you got to figure out how to keep it alive, keep the sparks going. And I think we look back at the olden days and we're like, well, they didn't do it back then. They were just as horny back then in the military as we are now. So
right, because you see some of these older folks that are 100 years old now that are in World War II, and you're like, there's no way they fucked. Like, you just look at them because they're old. Whenever I went to a nursing home recently and interviewed a World War II veteran who was shot down over Germany, I looked at his pictures back in the day whenever it was just a black and white picture of him, and I was like, this dude was fucking. At some point in his life, he was straight up fucking, and it happens all the time. World War II stories are some of my favorites, the romance behind it, because unlike now, where if you are in Afghanistan or you're in Iraq or you're wherever you are deployed and you have the ability to FaceTime or Skype or at least call, they didn't have that. And sometimes it would take it would be months before they actually heard the voice or saw the face of the person that they were with. So they also had to get creative. So we went and looked up an article from history.com that says, long before AOL Instant Messenger, Winston Churchill received a World War I letter that said, oh my God, like the OMG.
OMG.
So they've been doing the acronyms for a long time. And decades before baby boomers began wringing their hands over sextings, their parents were sending each other racy acronyms in their World War II letters. And I don't think this is talked about enough, so we're going to do it right now. Some of these acronyms were fairly mild by today's standard. For example, soldiers and their sweetheart might write SWAK, S-W-A-K, or S-W-A-L-K on the back of an envelope to say, sealed with a loving kiss. And they might actually leave a little bit of lipstick, too. I'm sure you've seen that, like, in movies where you kiss it. Or even, we've seen it, too, with a little bit of perfume. Were you ever known to do that, Kate? Throw a little perfume or cologne onto a letter?
Yeah, definitely.
So they go on to say, but they get a little bit more raunchy because I think we hear ones like seal with a loving kiss and we think, yeah, I could see my grandparents doing that or my great grandparents doing that one. It gets a little bit more racy though. There's another one called Norwich, for example, which means knickers off ready when I come home. And while China could be code for come home, I'm naked already. So it's getting a little bit more suspect. But it goes on even further than to that because some of the World War II correspondents weren't part of any official Allied-wide military code. This just kind of came up organically. And I imagine that if they could have at the time, something like Urban Dictionary for the World War II soldier would have been very, very beneficial because some of these are pretty complicated. Like there's one called Egypt. Just the word Egypt, E-G-Y-P-T, that said, ever give you pleasant thoughts. And then Kate's personal favorite one, Egypt might mean something different. Kate, do you want to tell us what that one is?
Eager to grab your pretty tits. And the reason that a lot of these acronyms were so intense and so weird was that back then, again, they only had snail mail, but also every piece of it was red to make sure they weren't giving away secrets. And that was one of the big reasons that they had to do it this way. So they had to like encode their sexting pretty much. So eager to grab your pretty tits, Egypt would be the thing that you would write. And so there was some sweet ones. There was some not so sweet ones.
So
so
can we take a step back? You have to establish these acronyms with the other person or else you're just going to be reading words like out of context. Like do they sit down before their deployment and be like, look, I'm going to give you a dictionary word.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, probably.
You definitely do that. Because even when my dad was in the Navy, like I've said before, and whenever he would go out, we would have code words. Like, say, if he was going to be near Egypt or something like that. Not the tits Egypt.
You grab it.
But if he was
going
to be
tits
somewhere, we would say McDonald's or going to get donuts. And we'd have code words that we all knew what it meant, but he didn't. So they probably had to sit down and come up with these acronyms all by themselves. Another one that they used was Italy, which might be confusing in World War II. But Italy meant I trust you and love you. That one's beautiful, right?
Yeah, I love it. And Burma, be undressed ready, my angel. Malaya, my ardent lips await your arrival. Venice, very excited now, I caress everywhere, which maybe means jerking off. I don't know. But yeah, a lot of these, I'm assuming troops coming back from overseas too would talk to the troops about to deploy and be like, come up with a code with your lady because we're not allowed to write about shit. So I don't know. Right. There's a lot of really cute ones, though, and I really love that. I know when I was on deployment, my ex and I, we only had snail mail because he was deployed at the same time. We were both in the boonies, and we would sext via snail mail. And I think I've talked about it on here before. I would draw stick figures of me getting like wheelbarrowed on a coffee table. I'm like, you're going to just, yeah. So it was a weird time. I also had a Polaroid camera that I would, little Afghan kids don't have any photos of themselves. So I would take it out on patrol and I would take pictures of the kids and give it to them. So they loved getting handheld photos of themselves that they could keep. But I also used it to take pictures of my tits to mail to them.
Egypt.
So, snail mail, Egypt. Check out these pretty tits.
Did you have
man.
Any acronyms that you used?
No, I just wrote it straight out because I didn't have to hide it. But one time, a French magazine was in Marja. It was kind of right after, which, by the way, the push of Marja, I think 10 years ago now, would be starting this month. But I got there right after the push. And so all these journalists were coming in. And this French magazine, they were like, do you mind? I was writing him a letter. And so they're, do you mind if over your shoulder we take some photos for the magazine? And I was like, sure. And I didn't realize that I was continuing on with the letter, but on the left page, on the other page, was like a straight up raunchy ass, like, I'm going to be sucking that dick, like, whatever. So afterwards, I was like, fuck, that's going to be some French person who speaks English is going to be like, oh, my God, what the fuck?
I mean, it probably makes sense. I mean, people know that you're separated and you got to keep it a little bit spicy whenever you're deployed. Yeah. I, on the other hand, did have some spicy acronyms that I would use. Like,
you
if
did.
I was going, yeah, if I was in World War II now, I came up with some that I would have. I would be like, don't forget GIB. And I don't know if that would make sense. Does that make sense to you guys, GIB?
No.
G-I-B?
Uh-uh.
Oh, that means the G-spot's in the butt. You can't forget
that. Oh, you can't.
So whenever we get there, GIB is definitely one. And you would also have DIMP would be one, too. So that would be digitally insert and milk the prostate.
For sure.
That would be one that I would throw in a letter. And the last one that I would make sure that before I left and we knew on deployment is that soon PM would be one that we would definitely have to remember whenever I come back. Soon PM would be something that I was looking for. And that one means strap one on, now peg me.
Right, for sure. That was a very common one during World War II, yeah. By the way.
I've seen bumper stickers that says soon PM. I've seen all that kind of stuff.
I have two that I would have used in World War II that I didn't use, but that I would have if I go back in time. Spokes is the first one, and it's not perfect, but slap your pork and beans on Kate, especially sexily. And
okay.
Then,
yeah, that's good.
JJ did tie buckle.
Oh.
So just
common military acronym, usually for leadership, but you can adjust fire.
So they think I'm sending one about leadership. JJ did tie buckle. Just jammed that incredible dong totally inside every big undulating clammy crispity love entrance.
Makes sense. Yeah, that's obvious. That's one that they'll pick up on probably.
For sure. Yeah, I'd be ratted out on that one. So every now and then in the MWR where troops can call home, you hear some sexy conversations going on that you wish you weren't hearing. But I mean, what are you going to do? You got to keep it going. You got to keep the spark alive.
That one Marine that comes in with his poncho liner and it's rustling while he's looking at the computer, you know what's going on.
You know for sure what's going on. Little hands under the sticky wooden desk that was there all the time. Yeah. But there's a porn site, Cam Soda. It's like cam girls, and there might be guys, I don't know. But they're doing a Valentine's Day special where you can pick a specific participating cam model and have them, like Sarah J, Brandy Love, Lisa Ann, who's here at Barstool sometimes. You can make requests for what outfit they wear, what they say, desired level of naughtiness. And once the request is filled, Cam Soda will validate the troop's IP address and initiate the free greeting or recording. So you can send your loved one a free cam girl message from like some sexy lady if you want.
I mean, it's unbelievable. We are really in the golden age of horniness.
Right.
Really.
Truly.
I mean, because the things that you can do now, you couldn't even imagined it years ago. That you could go on and you could pay for almost anything that you want to do. You want to pee on somebody. You could probably set that up just
for
on the
sure.
internet. Easy.
You want to pee in somebody's butt.
Pee in
you
their
butt.
You
can do that too. Whatever you want. Boy,
Pib,
really sweet. So World War II acronyms, keeping love alive, very much real on this Valentine's Day.
No doubt about it. Do you have any tips for those people out there, Kate?
You know, stick figures really do get the job done. I would say, yeah, don't be afraid. Read 50 Shades of Grey.
Okay.
Get a little sexy with it. And don't be afraid to send to get long distance groovy.
Have you ever read 50 Shades of Grey?
No. Well, once. I found my aunt's copy down the shore one year, and we all came back from the bar super hammered. So my cousin had passed out
read
on
it
the
as
table.
A group?
And so there's a video of me reading it to her while she's passed out on a table with like a bowl of spaghetti, which is just stupid. But that's
my
the only
wife
time.
Was reading them before the movies came out and everything. She listens to audiobooks and reads them and everything. And she told me that one time she was just kind of lost her train of thought while she was going through and getting a breakfast taco and rolled the window down of our minivan at the time. And the audio tape of Christian Grey, like doing some real raunchy sex move to his love interest. You could hear it while she was just getting her breakfast tacos in the morning. Cautionary tale about 50 Shades of Grey.
Oh, for sure. Careful.
I have another cautionary tale. I don't have a tip for you while you are away. But occasionally, whenever you do get those pictures, like certain pictures of your loved one, the explicit kind, and you keep those to yourself, we don't want to delete those. Like the like, if you have those pictures and you're still with somebody, those are something that you usually keep for a long time. Whenever I was on a plane going to my honeymoon with my wife, I opened up my laptop and I had some of those pictures. And as soon as you know, like whenever you're going to charge your iPhone, back in the day, whenever you plugged in your iPhone, immediately iPhotos would pop up on your laptop. So you would just it like start bouncing and you'd have it there. So whenever I plugged in my iPhone and I had my laptop open, it was just naked pictures of my wife. And yeah. I was sitting in the aisle seat and everybody behind me could see it, no yeah. doubt. And I wasn't paying attention and she like slammed it shut. She's like, "What are you doing? Why would you have those so readily available?" I'm like,
well. Oh, yeah. It definitely, be careful with the nudes. Be careful
be
with the
Be very
nudes.
Careful with the
it's
nudes.
It's a gift.
It is.
Treat it as such.
Treat it as such and keep them private. Private pictures are private. Good little safety brief there, too. Let's move on to round five.
Round number five comes to us from military.com, and Oriana Pollock is the one who wrote this one. When popping the big question, creativity is encouraged. So one airman recently used the opportunity to go a little bit over the top of the world, that is.
Oh,
oh yeah.
A new world.
A brand new. Captain Stuart Shippey of the 393rd Bomb Squadron at Whiteman Air Force Base in Missouri proposed to his girlfriend Marie Lisman by launching a weather balloon into space with a ring attached to it. It went high above the Earth. And along with friends and Lisman by his side, Shippey, a B-2 Spirit stealth bomber pilot, launched the balloon with a decoy ring up to 96.
I just got nervous. I'm like, this guy's a fucking idiot.
That's what I thought, too. Up to 96,000 feet. But it went all the way up to 96,000 feet, according to Shippey's video recording of the launch now posted on YouTube. Lisman thought Shippey was just sending up a military challenge coin. That would have been just the nerdiest of things.
Right.
But,
my God. She thought that her fiancé was a big old loser.
But he swapped in the ring at the last minute, the video shows. Once the balloon burst at high altitude, it traveled back down to Earth, landing in a nearby cornfield. From 96,000 feet, where Lisman and Shippey retrieved it using a GPS system attached to the package. Once she picked up the container, Lisman saw the decoy ring perched on a stand while Shippey got down on one knee to propose with the real ring. I feel like this is like Miss Lippy in that Adam Sandler movie. Miss Lippy, Captain Shippey said.
Miss Lippy was really happy that the milk and the ring came down together at the same time.
Yeah. Shippey was glad he made the weather balloon experiments a personal hobby, enabling him to understand the mechanics of a successful launch. Putting us all to shame, Captain Shippey. Because that's a really well thought out. I mean,
it is, because normally it is very hard to have a military type of proposal where everybody doesn't collectively roll their eyes at once, because normally it's like some PFC standing in a field in his camis with his girlfriend or whatever, or it's a lady veteran wearing her dress blues with her PFC chevrons high and tight and looking and getting engaged as well. It's those types of things. This one took a little bit more thought, although I gotta say, even though it is a great idea to post it up on a weather balloon saying that it went up to space, my love for you goes over the Earth and all that stuff, it is beautiful. It is kind of faking the funk, and I kind of think technically it's an integrity violator, because that's not the real ring. You can't say that he put this ring up to space. The fake ring has now got to become the real ring.
He should have upped the ante and used the real ring. I agree. I think he should have sent it up there and said, but then it would have been a lot of pressure. Then if they couldn't
find it,
they might have broken up, you know?
But that's why you shouldn't do diamonds. I think diamonds should be out. I think that you can take that risk with a ruby or a garnet or something like that.
Right, you should have gone with
the
garnet.
I'm just so tired of diamonds. Like, why are we doing this still? This is such an antiquated idea of engagement. What do we need this for? That amount of money, that amount of risk. One,
I think you're just bitter. You're bitter.
It's flat out irresponsible.
You didn't have a fancy engagement idea, so you're hating on Captain Shippey.
Well, I did have a fancy idea, Kate. I just didn't have the intestinal fortitude to stick to the plan.
Maybe
I've told you that before, right? Like, I had this big plan of how I was going to asked my wife to marry me, and the very first gift that I got her was the almond branches from Van Gogh, and I sent that to her place in Mississippi whenever we were living long distance. Whenever she was coming up to visit me in Washington, D.C., that same painting from Van Gogh was at the Smithsonian. So whenever we were supposed to go to the Smithsonian, we were supposed to have this nice moment where I was going to actually ask her to marry me underneath that Van Gogh painting. So then whenever it was hanging over our bed, it would always be a reminder. Instead, I drank way too much red wine, got really drunk, put on Michael Bublé, and asked her to marry me while I was wearing pajama pants, and then called 7 to 8 different people to ask them all to be my best man.
Well, she still said yes, right?
She still said yes.
She still said yes. So potato, potato. It was a nice plan, but this one's nice too.
And then she proposed to you under a waterfall.
I know.
That's true. Waimea Falls. Yeah. A decade later, she proposed to me in Waimea Falls. It was beautiful.
You guys are just rolling in proposals. I do love, though, that this shippy guy and his fiance Lisman now, that they'll have this video of the whole thing. It's kind of cool to be able to maybe, if they ever have kids someday, show the ring going like up into space. I mean, I keep going back to it, but 96,000 feet, it's kind of neat. And then to see this, it's kind of cool. I think it's a unique idea.
It's a romantic gesture, for sure.
It is. It is slightly nerdy, but that's the Air Force for you. God love them. So good for them.
All right, so let's go ahead and get in save rounds and alibis. We'll start with our guy, Captain Cons. What's up, Cons?
Yeah, so we are, obviously, as everybody knows, we're going out to the Air Force Academy in Colorado Springs this weekend. Really excited about this trip. And I was tasked with finding out some fun facts about the Air Force Academy. So I dialed up the old Google machine, and this is what I found out.
Well, let's say you were tasked. You volunteered. You volunteered.
Oh, well, yeah. No, I guess I did. I guess I did. All right. Anyway.
This is one that you put your hand up and you're like, I know so much because I looked into going there. I wanted to give these facts out.
Not true. But anyway.
And you got rejected, and that's why you went to West Point.
Also not true. But anyway. Number one, the United States Air Force Academy in Colorado Springs was founded in 1954, which makes it the youngest service academy in the country, and thus the whiny baby. Number two, the Cadet Chapel was designed to have 21 spears. Did you know that, Bren? But due to budget constraints.
Spires?
Spires. Spires. Wow. Spires.
Spires. You throw a spear.
Spires, yeah, you're right.
Like a large column?
Yes.
Right.
Correct. Wow. Good job, Bren. Yep. 21 spires, but due to budget constraints when construction began in 1959, its design was changed to include only 17 of those spires. As a result, the Air Force Academy developed a complex about itself, with its graduates always falling short. Number three, you can get a great education at the Air Force Academy. It has been ranked as high as number two public college in the country by Forbes, perennially behind number one, United States Military Academy.
I love the fact that Cons is talking about the education, and normally he reads really well, but he's stumbling all through.
Oh, the irony. Oh, the irony. Number four, one of the founders and the first superintendent of the Air Force Academy was Lieutenant General Hubert Riley Harmon. Lieutenant General Harmon was a member of the famed West Point class of 1915, a.k.a. the Stars. Jesus, the class that Stars fell on. Lieutenant General Harmon was aided by his pal and classmate General Eisenhower in creating the Air Force Academy. Dualies, I didn't know that. That's what the Air Force Academy freshmen are referred to, are required to know these names. And when asked who founded the school, they reply, "Without West Point, we don't exist." And lastly, number five, Brigadier General Robin Olds, ace fighter pilot and Air Force Academy Commandant from 1967 to 1970. By the way, read his book. That's an excellent, excellent read. But he famously said of the Air Force Academy, "Fighter pilot is an attitude. It is cockiness. It is aggressiveness. It is self-confidence. It is a streak of rebelliousness. And it is competitiveness."
It's
but there's something else. There's a spark. There's a desire to be good, to do well in the eyes of your peers and your own mind. I learned all of this while playing football at West Point. So there you have it. There you have it. I mean, a lot of great facts about the Air Force Academy.
Yeah, I can't wait. I can't wait to show up at the Air Force Academy. You're going to get such a warm welcome. Everybody's going to be so excited to see you.
Absolutely. All of our
listeners. So now I do have a task. One of the biggest questions that we get on social media that we get a lot of times when we start talking about books is what some of the recommendations. Cons is a well-read individual. Cons, Tuesday's episode, I want you to do your top 10 military books of all time.
Oh, that's great. All right, I got you. I look forward to putting that together for sure.
All right, Bryn, what do you got?
I'm just super excited to go to Colorado. I've never been to Colorado before, so I can't wait to like check out everything about the campus. I'm looking forward to do the falconry, getting you guys on some skates. The hockey game is going to be awesome. It's going to be a little bit different because I feel like when we go to these sporting events, we really only go to, like, Army-Navy. And, you know, now that Cons is not here anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, Army-Navy football game is just so boring. The hockey game, an actual NHL hockey game should be super
exciting.
Well,
the pageantry behind the game is awesome.
It's
I think the actual
right,
game
part,
on the
right.
field.
Right. That stuff's
always some of the games that we've
appreciated.
Been to have been really exciting. The year that Army broke the streak, that game was fucking amazing. That was one of the most fun games I've ever been to in my
the
life.
Snow, the
but
snow
I am
game
looking
finish.
Forward to going to the hockey game.
The snow game finish was an awesome finish, but it's just such a brutal watching experience when you're, like, sitting up in the upper decks and, like, it's snowing and it was cold. But I guess that'd be – well, we should be
– Colorado might be chilly, Brent.
Yeah, I forgot about that part
up,
that we're
buckaroo.
Not going to be watching inside. So I'm just realizing that now, so.
Yeah.
Okay.
Kate, what do you got?
Again, I'm sure you guys already said it, but View House in Colorado Springs, the place just opened. I was looking it up. It looks awesome. It's like
we
this huge, beautiful bar with these massive patios and outdoor space and inside like super high roofs and glass looking out at the mountains. It's really cool. So View House, Colorado Springs from 3 to 5 p.m. on Saturday, the 15th. That's where we are going to be. And so I'm just really excited. I, too, have never been to Colorado, and I can't wait. I'm going to just be wagging my tail all over it. We're going to be doing a little ice skating. We're going to be getting a tour of the campus, and I'm really, really looking forward to that. Also, on a more somber note, just much love to the Naval Academy right now. I saw that a midshipman, Duke Carrillo, passed away. So thoughts and prayers to his friends and family and to all the people at the Naval Academy. I'm sure they're hurting right now. So I'm just sending my love on this Valentine's Day, but really thinking of the Carrillo family and all his friends.
Yeah, no doubt about it. My saved round is, one, I'm excited to go to Colorado. Two, I think I've only gone to one NHL game in my life, so I'm excited to see that and experience, go out with RA and the Spittin' Chicklets guys. They're all great, so I'm looking forward to that. And secondly, I got to give out Firewatch. We have a little bit of Firewatch that's going on this weekend. The duty roster needs to be filled out. And the first one up, he used to be the press secretary. He was the press secretary for President Trump whenever he first took over office. He is a naval officer as well, so he should be familiar with taking watch. But because Sean Spicer decided in all of his infinite wisdom that he was going to take money out of other people's pockets by charging $199 to spread a message of love via Cameo for this Valentine's Day season, I think that's way too much money. I think Sean Spicer should love way more than that and drop the prices down. $199 is way too much, and hopefully he gets flooded with requests to do these cameos, and if he does, he'll have plenty of time to host those cameos while he's on Firewatch.
Big Coot, whoever your name is, I know you have no Firewatch, therefore I fixed that tonight.
Hi, sir! In addition to that, he'll have somebody to film all of his Firewatch, because Kate will be joining him on Firewatch as the A-duty. She was late today for the podcast, so every time that Sean Spicer is on Firewatch, so will Kate be. She will be the A-duty to his duty NCO.
Big Coot, whoever your name is, I know you have no Firewatch, therefore I fixed that tonight.
Hi, sir!
Yeah, earlier in the week, we decided to move the time up for because Cons needed to come in earlier. And I was like, yeah, that works for me. And then I just totally forgot. So I was at home. I was up. I was getting ready to come in. I still was going to be early for the regular show. But I just it was one of those things that when you called, I was like, hey, what's up? I didn't even know what you were calling for.
And that was the reason why I didn't get mad at all. Like whenever I called and you're like, and you're just like, hey, yeah, what do you mean? And then I was like, she has no idea. And I think that is at the point. If you know and you're late, to me, I think that that's a problem. Like, you're knowingly late. If it's something that just completely skips your mind and you have no idea, that shit happens to everybody. So you're just like, okay, we'll just fucking adjust fire. We'll do it this way. We had to adjust fire a little bit. Turned out to be a good episode. We're looking forward to having everybody in Colorado. We'll get some good content when we're there. We'll let you know about it on Tuesday. Until then, it's on the retreat.